Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Anime Afterlife Podcast. I'm your host for today, Gabe. And with me, I have my co-host for today, Dave, the zombie.
Hello.
Our other co-host, Vincito.
Ah!
And with us today, we have guests, Lurkst, who is our blog personality, Lurkst.
Wait, why is Gabe hosting this?
We decided this today.
I don't know why.
You weren't on until like an hour ago.
That ain't my fault.
Our other guest, Richard.
Oh shit, Dave took a step down. Dubstep.
And our other guest, Zakana.
Begging is a very unique and interesting fetish that some people have.
Interesting. And our final guest, Arrow Blip.
Hello. I did this entire show by myself.
Okay. Yeah, you're a guest, but whatever.
Yeah, we got some fun, I guess.
All right. For this episode of Anime Affiliate Podcast, we're going to be doing what we did on our last special. We're going to go down the list of summer 2011 anime and give us our very, very short impressions this time. Because last time...
5 hour podcast.
Yeah, we're shooting for a 4 hour podcast this time instead of
podcast?
Five.
What a
podcast.
Shame.
Yeah, podcast. Yeah, 4 hour podcast. All right. Where's the stupid site?
Right. Oh fuck you, dude! I sent it already.
Yeah, I got it.
Dude, what is this? This is a goofy looking chart.
You posted it.
I didn't post this shit.
It's Narragate. This is what you've been posting all week on the blog. Not this one.
No, but this is completely different from the Narragate one I have.
Does it matter?
This looks all goofy.
Okay.
Let's go.
It's
the same thing. It's different colors. All right, let's get the show on the road. First up, we have Appleseed 13. Who's in charge of watching?
I'm in charge of Appleseed, but I thought you said you wanted to do right to left, but I guess I'll go.
Ass.
Dude, I watched like 5 minutes of this, and then I dropped it, because
how am I an ass?
What?
No. Forget it. All right, Richard.
That's pretty rude of you, Lars.
What?
Dropping an
what?
Ass.
It looks horrible. It looks really dumb.
Bitch, these are not everything, Larks. You learned this. You should have learned this by now.
All right. Richard, please, go on.
What? Oh, yeah. So, Appleseed. I mean, it's a 13 episode of OVA, and I guess they're trying to do a spinoff on a 13 episode kind of series from the, you know, three movies of Appleseed. That took place at Appleseed 1988, Appleseed 2004, and Appleseed Ex Machina. And it's, I think it's directed and created by Shiro Masamune, who wrote the, you know, story, I believe. And it's, I think Shinji Aramaki also did some work in Appleseed. But you ever want to ask, Gabe?
What's the animation like in this show? That's the 3D one, right?
CG.
How does that look?
I was gonna talk about the story.
Oh well.
It looks pretty fucking terrible, though, Gabe, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
Really?
It looks bad.
It's not terrible, but it's not the worst CG that's ever been put into anime. But it's pretty awkward.
Mm. What do you have to say about the story, Richard?
So yeah, the story is the premise and concept. Basically, it takes place like after World War III, like most of all the Appleseeds are, and pretty much live. And it takes place in a kind of like this alternative setting called Olympus, and it's basically like this kind of made up area in the Earth where it's like. You know, they have like this city where they have Bioroids, which are like android people made to assist humans and robots. And basically, there's basically, you know, it's pretty much supposed to be a utopia, but there's always terrorism and rebellion and stuff like that. So that's where the two main characters are, Dunin, Newt, which is the main character, and chick with blonde hair. She's part of E-SWAT with her companion, Briareos, which is a cybernetic giant who somehow loses his body to an accident, depending on what Appleseed you watch. And E-SWATCH is like an extra special weapons and tactics team, an elite paramilitary force that takes out terrorism. And in episode 13, it kind of starts off abruptly. It was like, I think it was like an ambassador meeting where there's like, they got a random firefight or terrorism. And Dunin, I believe she's a rookie in this series because she's so kind of cocky. Like, the characters, like, Dunin, she's always, like, a tough, more experienced character from all the other Appleseeds I've seen, but they made her more feminine, emotional, and more female-looking than the other ones. Like, her hair's longer, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Briareos is always, like, the higher-up, kind of like a stoic kind of guy, trying to be, like, a big brother.
All right. Well, what do you think of the story? Is it doing it well, or... You know, what do you find good about it?
Well, I mean, if you've seen all the Appleseeds, you pretty much know the whole concept. But then again, they don't really display much of story from just the first episode, as there is only out so far. But, I mean, it's mostly like series events of like, you know, series looking back to doing his past a little bit. You have like a lot of flashbacks in the first episode and, you know, display of scenarios of a action and shooting, and that's what I'm guessing what this series is mostly going for is mostly action and stuff like that.
Alright. Anyone else have anything to say about Appleseed?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I'm sure Lurks wants to throw in his couple cents about how bad it was for the first 5 seconds he watched it.
Pretty much. Me
and you talk about art a bit. You want to talk about that together or no?
Well, I don't want to go into it too far because it's a very small show and I just want to touch on it for a little bit. Is that, Appleseed 13, if you, especially when you compare it to the movies, it's not movie grade quality at all. But those like the first movie made in 2004 had pretty good animation for the time. They used great CG in it. I thought it looked really nice, even though I watched it like 4 years later. And the anime itself kind of looks like it was made in 2002. That's all, really. I don't know. The animation just, it's awkward, but it's not, it has that kind of, a stylized effect to it a little bit later on the episode, I guess. You see that, Richard?
Yeah. I mean, people are really expecting too much from 13.
Oh,
just
yeah.
From looking at like, the concept art and from the past movies. But like you said, they were kind of rushing the first episode, and plus they're doing 13 episodes of this, so they're kind of on a time-based schedule. And like, it kind of, like the models were kind of doesn't look as much detailed, but they're still good. But then again, they're kind of janky, like as if there are puppets on the string. So their movements are kind of like some parts it looks like they're like puppets on the string.
Yeah. And besides the artwork, I've seen all three Appleseeds before, and this is the best damn adaptation of Appleseed so far, based on the first episode. The characters are better. I'm enjoying where they put the story in. And I don't know, it's just way better. If the animation was not so wonky, it'd probably be, I would say, skip the movies and watch this instead.
I mean,
this is actually Dunin herself is way better in this series than she is in the movies.
I mean, I like how they're trying to put Deaf in character, but that's what I like about it. But and I'm pretty sure I like this, and I want to give high hopes and I enjoy this. How about you, Vin?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I just wish the animation didn't suck dick.
Okay, let's go to the next anime or all anyone right. else.
All right.
What's a bitch about it?
If that's it, then let's move on to Blade.
Okay, I'm in charge of Blade. Sorry. Blade, owned by Marvel, being done by Madhouse Studios. Blade is about a... Okay, Blade, his origin is... Ugh, I'm having...
Do you want to start talking about, like... Never mind. Nothing.
Okay, go ahead. Let's start over. I'm...
I think the anime takes it.
Air conditioner makes it hard for me to breathe in here sometimes. Okay, basically his origin. His mother was attacked when, like, Blade himself was a fetus in her stomach, all that stuff. Basically, when the vampire bit her, like, because Blade wasn't the one being bit, like, kind of a loophole, he gained all of Vampire's abilities, and also the ability to feed on humans without the weaknesses, like silver, stakes, sunlight, all that stuff. So he's essentially a daywalker.
Alright.
That's what they call him in the movies.
Yep.
So, what do you like about this show?
Well, I like the fact that it has a black lead. I know that's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool. And I like the visual style, and that's kind of about it, actually. Like, it's not horrible, but it feels so post-anime Japan, that kind of thing. It feels like an American studio trying to make it into a Japanese thing.
This feels like every other Marvel anime. You throw a superhero into a non-superhero situation and then let him do shit. Well, actually, you know, this actually does it better because, like, this actually incorporates Blade's story, at least. Like, with Iron Man, you had, like, Tony Stark going to Japan. And for Wolverine, you had Wolverine in Japan for some fucked up reason. He had a Japanese girlfriend he had to save. And X-Men, well, X-Men doesn't have a story. Who cares? But Blade, they actually, you know, they used all the... I think, where does this take place? Japan? Again?
It takes place all over the world. There was an arc in Japan, though.
Okay. Well, anyway, but there's no really bullshit savior girlfriend. I think, no, there isn't really, is there? I forget what the storyline is.
There is a female lead vampire, like, hunter in training.
Isn't it in the first episode that, like, yeah, you meet two vampire hunters. One's a father of another vampire hunter. I think this is the first episode. And the father gets, do you guys care about spoilers? Whatever, who cares a shit? But anyway, yeah. But the only thing I really liked is in, like, the second episode, I think, he met this, like, down-on-his-luck badass cop. And, like, he had nothing to lose besides his daughter and stuff. So I don't know what the hell was wrong with that guy. But that was pretty interesting. I like how they brought in that cop thing, which is more anime, American movie-ish kind of thing. Actually, it's everywhere, really. Huh?
Is anyone else watching Blade? No. No one's watching Blade. Alright. If that's over with. Anything else, Zakana? Anything short?
Nope, nothing else really. That's about it.
Alright.
It's probably going to be in my top five characters in anime, which is kind of sad.
Alright. Well, let's move on to Natsume Yujin Cho-san. Anyone?
No.
Wait, why did you even bring this up? No one's watching this.
No, yeah. No one? Wait, where's...
Refer to the list.
It's like the third season or something.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. All right, let's just cut that out. Let's move on to Yuri, which is me. Okay. Yuri is basically just a slice of life anime. It kind of does that four girls living a school life kind of thing. And, you know, so far, I'm enjoying it.
Can we call that an effect yet?
What?
The Kaon effect or the Lucky Star effect or something?
That's been around longer than... Well,
I know, but those are the coin.
I guess, yeah. You know, so far, I'm really liking it. I think it's really funny. It's changing its humor episode by episode, but, you know, overall, it's still really nice. The art style, animation... I feel like it's nothing new, but I haven't really seen it anywhere else before. So,
Gabe, don't worry, it is not nothing new. But I did read the manga before, and they changed a lot. They changed a few of the jokes to fit anime because a lot of their jokes in there had to deal with them being in a manga. So they changed some of them to fit the anime thing. So that was weird.
Oh, well. Aside from that, I like the characters. You know, they're nothing too special either, but. You know, they all play in nice, and you know they're all pretty funny. I really like it, especially that perverted glasses girl. that's always nice to have.
Yeah.
Is anyone else watching this want to say something?
Yeah, I'm watching it. I do enjoy it quite a bit. I kind of like the little meta humor that's going on with like Akari and like how the fact that she was introduced as the main character and then she gets less and less like screen time as the show goes on.
Yeah, no, that's one of the running jokes. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I'm not usually a big fan of Moe Blobs, but there's something about this one that like I guess things are happening. Stuff's going on, which makes it appealing to watch.
Yeah.
So
I really like it. It has like some meta humor in it too, especially with that less appearance of Akari. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I am.
What do you think about it?
No, it's interesting to see because I wasn't expecting much out of this at all. It being some other shows, what I was only expecting out of it.
Wait, it's why are you expecting so much of A Channel last season then?
He wasn't.
Oh, okay, never mind.
He thought it was going to be bad.
I thought it was going to be terrible.
You mean it wasn't?
Ah!
I see what you did there. Shut up. All right. Well, if that's it, Lurkst, let's move on to Kami-sama Dolls.
All right. Kami-sama Dolls, it's one of the three shows by Brainspace, which is usually a good thing. What?
Me yeah. too?
No, three. Natsume, this.
Oh, I forgot about Natsume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Penguin Drum, which we'll talk about later. So, Kami-sama Dolls is about pretty much a guy named Kohei and his little sister, Utao. And it's... The problem is that it's kind of hard to summarize by the fact that there's not really much explained going on in the show. There's these giant, powerful deities, and apparently people have control over them. But then other people keep coming in, and it looks like there's hints about murders, other hints about like suicide. I have no idea what's going on. I guess that's one of the big problems with the show, is that every time they introduce a story element, they give you no backstory whatsoever. And they're relying on the whole, oh, it's really suspenseful, and you should just keep sticking to the story because eventually it'll be revealed, which doesn't necessarily mean it's good storytelling. It does make it interesting, but it's not necessarily the best way to tell a story. And yeah, I recommend it. It's definitely not one of the best shows of the season, but it is a good show. It does have its action. It does have its comedy. Utao is probably like the best character. She's so hilarious.
I think she's more than the best character.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I have no idea what you're going with that.
But... I don't even know either. This anime has the best opening of the season. Wait, what?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I don't say that wholeheartedly though. But
I wouldn't say the best opening. But it is. It has that.
I would say catchy. It's
yeah,
catchy.
That Latin feel. It's really nice.
It speaks to me in my heart, man. Makes me want to be Latin again.
Again?
Yeah, again. Go ahead.
Yeah. Recommend it, but be forewarned, it has unusual storytelling, and it's kind of a bit schizophrenic, which is, it's really unusual, because they have like a really dramatic scene, and then all of a sudden Utao does something that just really breaks the mood, but she's so cute and adorable, you kind of just roll with it. Like, she's...
It changes moods all the time, the anime does. Yeah, it likes to do that.
But Utao is really, really awesome.
Okay.
I don't care about lollies, and she's not a lolly character. She's, I guess, a little Emoto. But it's like, it's the cute, I want to pinch her cheeks cute, not the I want to have sex with her cute.
Yeah.
Even the suggestive stuff she does is cute. I mean, remember that one time she fell over and she was like hiding her panties and it was like, I'm not even interested. I'm just, that's so cute.
Yeah. And then like Aki was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the character's like, what the fuck? But yeah, she's so fucking adorable. Like just watch the show for her. That's all I can say, really. Anyone else watching it?
I am watching it, and I do agree with you that Kami-sama Dolls, you know, a lot isn't really revealed in the first, four episodes is out, but I guess I'm going to be pretty optimistic about it and say it'll make sense later on.
Yeah.
I still like that little god thing whenever that huge creature pops out. It's like so godly, and it's like so, I don't know what to say. I mean,
it's musical.
It's musical. It is.
Yeah. I'm only one episode into this. I keep forgetting to watch it. Keep forgetting. That's what it is.
Kind of like how you forgot about Steins Gate.
Yeah.
The first time I saw one of the commies, the deities, I was freaked out because that song they sing is very creepy. Well, they all sing different songs, but like each of them is equally as creepy as the last one.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. But like, I think I'm going to actually stop watching it. I just watched the newest episode. I'm going to stop there and then watch the rest, marathon the rest later. I think that's a better option for me. It'll make more sense.
And is it that kind of show?
It kind of feels like that kind of show because there's a lot of scenes where they just kind of jump around with the mood, but I think that might be because I'm not actually experiencing it in a way I probably should be. But I guess you could watch. You could probably watch it weekly and it'd be fine.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, it has enough fucking lighthearted comedy and cuteness to it where you can probably watch it every week and you won't feel any different about it.
Definitely.
All right.
And it's brain space. That's all I can say.
All right. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I'm two episodes behind. As far as I can say from the two episodes I've seen, the first episode is really stupid, in my opinion.
The first episode?
Yeah, the first episode is really dumb. Like, I just wasn't... I think I fell asleep halfway through and had to watch, like, rewatch it just to know what was going on. But the second episode was, like, an improvement over the first. So I'm going to be optimistic for the time being and just keep watching it, see if it goes anywhere.
If that's it for Kami-sama Dolls, then let's move on to Usagi Drop.
I guess I'll be taking over Usagi Drop, and I'm going to apologize to another host, as you know, as King, since he read the manga. He's probably a ghost out there somewhere. He's like, no! Usagi Drop should be mine! And he said, "Mine, Catherine." So, yeah. Oh, wait, fucking be Catherine. Oh, well, okay.
All right, wait. Richard, before you start, just a little bit less on summarizing the story and just mostly like what you think, okay?
I'm just throwing it off.
Huh?
Oh. I have notes what I'm going to say, but I guess...
Okay. Well, right. As long as it's your impressions, yeah.
Just, keep it shorter. That's all we're asking.
Okay. Whose show is this? Okay, I'm just... let's see. Fuck.
Take your time.
Okay. Usagi Drop. It's done by Production IG. Them jazzy snazzy high production company.
Jazzy snazzy.
That's what I think about them, man. It's pretty much, I want to say, a drama being a story of a 30-year-old bachelor adopting a girl that he doesn't know any relation to, and it's pretty much, you know, your typical cute MOA and kind of, you know, raising a child, kind of, I want to say, a coming of age kind of anime, but
I still haven't started this, but that's what I hear from it. Like, it's kind of drama, and then it's like a little bit of everything else, like MOA, blah,
yeah,
a little bit.
So for that, and also a little bit of comedy. The art is really, you know, it's kind of warm colors, and you know,
characters are nicely. Said, okay.
Yeah, and the colors are nicely, the characters are nicely drawn, kind of keep it kind of same as the manga is. And, you know, it's art's really good and vivid, bold, and like, sometimes it kind of does what, horror Moscow does. They kind of have, like, more a white glare and kind of like a water painting kind of inside color art.
That's pretty cool.
It looks like a memoir because the story does skip time. And, yeah. So
it's Production IG,
this?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, okay.
Anything else, Richard?
No.
Alright. Is anyone else watching Usagi Drop? Because I still haven't started it. My God.
I am.
And we all are, besides you, Gabe.
Oh.
Gabe, you don't watch good anime.
I hate it.
He just skips all the good anime.
I just hate good anime.
He just watches all the shit with the moe blobs.
Yeah.
That's all he's into.
Why are you watching this?
Because I hate good anime. You know.
Is that why you watch Clannad?
Shut up. I'm talking about Usagi Job.
I don't know. I thought the little girl was very cute. Does that mean anything at all? Guess not.
That means the show's doing its job right.
Yeah, she's very cute. What do you want me to say? I don't know. I have a very hard competition between that little sister from Kamisama Dolls and this girl in Usagi Job. I don't know. It's hard to tell for me. Maybe everyone could decide very easily.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Rin of Usagi Job is more of a good daughter. The fact that she's not, like, annoying. She's mostly quiet. She's intelligent. She actually knows what's going on around her. But then I guess for Utao, that's just, like, the little sister. You know, it's completely different. But either way, it works.
Mm.
They both have their cute factor, though.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
Lurks.
Anything else from anyone else? Let's
talk about Usagi.
Does anyone think that she looks older than what she really is?
No.
I think so.
How old is she?
She's like six.
Oh, she looks nine. I thought she was nine.
She looks like she's 10 years old.
Never mind.
She acts really mature. Like, child psychologically, I would think of her more as a child who blames herself and feels more kind of bad or what she gone through. But she's really more mature and logical about it. And she has, like, as the story builds up from, like, the manga and kind of living in anime, she has more reasoning and logical thinking than what other kids her age would think. And that's one reason why I like the story a lot.
Hmm.
I thought it was kind of weird that she's in, what's it, nursery school? Is that it?
Yeah,
she looks kind of a little older than the nursery school. She looks like she should be in, like, I don't know, elementary school.
Are you talking about, like, the second episode?
Yeah.
Oh, they explained that. Yeah.
Oh, I guess I missed
it. Daikichi, I think that's pronounced his name, Daikichi. Yeah, like, he didn't have enough time to, like, enroll her into, like, an actual elementary school. So he threw her in one of those nursery schools temporarily until he finds her. An actual school. Because that's what the last episode was hinting at, is that she finally gets to go to school. Yeah! The uniform and everything.
Alright. If no one else has anything to say about it, King? No, not you. let's move on to the next show, which is... Hold on, let me check if we're actually doing this. Is somebody doing this? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Blood Sea.
Okay, Blood Sea is me. Blood Sea is done by Production IG with character designs by Clamp. Blood Sea is about a girl named Saya she's basically a very ditzy girl. She goes to a school in a very small town, like this one bread store, one cafe, that kind of thing. It's just a very normal town, but by night she goes out with the soul to kill, like, statues and demons and stuff like that. So far it's pretty good. Like, I like the fight scenes, and it can get pretty bloody at times. She's a very brutal fighter.
Actually, there's a ton of blood. And just for the, whatever the fuck she's hunting, I don't even know.
I think the action scenes are pretty cool. It's full of blood and everything. That's always cool. What else you got? Wait.
Is this an original adaptation or is it based off something?
This is the third thing anime of the Blood franchise. Blood Plus, I think Bloodlust Vampire was one too.
I mean, I haven't seen those. Are they all based off manga or?
I don't even know. I don't know what they're based off of. King can tell you. He knows all about blood. But fortunately, he's not here right now, so. Oh, well.
Anyone else have anything to say about Blood Sea?
When I saw the previews for this, I was, like, pretty actually hyped because it looked kind of cool. But now I actually see it, and it looks kind of disappointing because most of that show is slice of life and then 5 minutes of actual action sequences.
I like the slice of life better than the action.
I think it's
too, yeah, I do. I like the little, part where she sings on the way to school. It's a little really weird. Catchy.
Yeah, that kind of stays in my head when I'm done watching the show. I think I heard you singing it one time.
I was singing it, and then I stopped because I was about to get shot and trip and fall on my face.
I do like how, you know, the guy who clearly has a thing for the lead girl? I like how all of their friends actually kind of make fun of the fact that she's just so oblivious to it all.
I don't know what chair you're talking about.
And really? The one guy that hangs out with all the girls? Like, just that small game?
Yeah. Now I know. Okay, yeah, I remember now.
Okay. Anything else? Any final thoughts? Alright. Keep losing it. One second.
We're jumping to my achievement.
Number six. Yeah.
Shouldn't we be giving, like,
I don't think,
recommendation, don't recommend?
That's what I've been doing.
Well, shouldn't we be saying that on every show?
No.
Oh, well, whatever.
Alright, well, we're going to skip number six because I don't think there's enough.
Because that show sucks.
there's no gay shit yet.
So much hate for number six. It's like fucking, what's that show called? Yeah, that show. Anyway, go on.
Togenoshi?
No, something like that. No, she's like a fucking bullshit yaoi motherfucking show. Sorry, my bad. Go on.
All right. Up next, we have my mayonnaise chicken. I mean, I'm sorry, Mayo Chiki.
Mayonnaise chicken? Oh, you.
I see what you did there. Yeah. All right. So, Mayo Chiki centers on a guy named Kinjiro. They nickname him as Jiro. And the entire story is about him finding out that the most popular guy in school is actually a chick. And that chick is also a butler. And she is the butler of the most popular girl in school. That's it.
And then hilarity. I think.
Yeah, and then hilarity ensues. Like, there's very little plot. But that's okay, because, like, this show is probably, like, my biggest guilty pleasure of the year so far.
It's kind of like other Mario show, Holic. Like Mario Holic.
It's exactly like Mario Holic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't see it, you guys. I honestly don't.
Okay, let me explain this to you. All right, so you have a main character who gets into a situation with a sadistic woman, which in this case is not the cross-dresser. It's actually the butler, which is in Mario Holic, it's a maid. The main character talks to a deceased relative up in heaven. The main character's body reacts in a weirder way when it comes in contact with the opposite sex.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
It's like the role, the people, the kinds of people, but the kind of personalities and roles are kind of switched around. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That makes sense.
Yeah, but aside from the characters, like, I don't really see it too much.
It's not in the humor, but it's in the characters. Like, the humor, it's
all perverted. Mario Holic has parody, this show has eshy.
Yeah.
Sure.
There you go.
If you're just talking about characters, yeah, I totally agree. It's very much like Mario Holic, but other than that, Mario Holic is like Mario Holic tier. And then my chicky is something else.
Oh god, my
mayonnaise chicken tier.
It's chicken.
But yeah, I full heartedly recommend this show. It is a really bad pleasure, but even so, it's so hilarious. Like Kana Hanazawa as like the little sister who's just so fucking stupid. It's awesome. And then of course you have like the sadistic, like rich girl, and then all the antics just with all cross-dressing nonsense and the nosebleeds. Like, I shouldn't be laughing, but I can't help it.
Like, and it's feel.
And it's, I don't know what that means.
The studio.
Yeah, feel, but I don't know what that means.
Feel did, didn't they do Yusuke Nozora?
They did.
Oh, shit, they did.
Kiss, Yusuke
Nozora. I'm not a big Feel fan at all. God,
damn, they've done some shit shows.
Yeah, they have.
This is probably their best show.
I don't think so.
I like it a lot. Who said that?
Yeah. Oh, and that opening too. I don't know why, but it's so high pitched, but
It kind of puts you in the right mindset.
All right. Anyone else want to talk about mayonnaise chicken? Someone who hasn't said anything.
It's not as good as I thought it was going to be. I can't remember what it was that I dropped and picked this up in place of it.
Number six, actually. We talked about
it.
It was number six. So I dropped the gay show in order to pick up the...
Transvestite show. Good job, Lux. You moved up here.
God, I'm so glad I know what I'm doing.
But it makes sense.
It's a good substitute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
If that's it for mayonnaise chicken, I mean Myotiki, then we're going to go to the French anime, Ikoku Meiro no Kwasi. I can't speak French, but...
That's Dave. Dave can pronounce it because he's so fucking French. Dave.
Ikoku Meiro no Kwasi.
Oh, omelette du fromage.
Kind of gave me a boner in
everything
French.
Everything I learned from about French, I learned from Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah,
thank you.
Here learned it from there. All right. Sorry, Richard.
That's okay. Well, Ikoku Meiro no Kwasi. It's an anime. Kind of does the concept of East meets West, or West meets East. And basically, it's about a Japanese girl named Yune who works abroad in France. And basically, she works as a postal girl for this blacksmith shop. And it's basically two people from different cultures learning about each other. And it has a kind of cool concept of like a Japanese person being in France and having it it feels like it's like a romance anime. That's what I feel like. And
really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
it's okay. What else can I say about it? But art, I really like it since, I really like how they pan over France and like all the way the artists make Paris look like. And it's really good. It's a, high artsy show, but felt like the story is kind of done before, but then again, it's really nice.
Really, I haven't really seen anything else like this. East meets West, but I think it's really interesting right now. Like, I know I like the way it's going. It shows a lot of promise, and I definitely like the way they're showing off France here and there.
It does, yeah.
Is anyone else watching? Want to say something?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Animes like this always need like a otaku-ish kind of old man in it to explain to the young blonde kid what everything's going on with the Japanese. Well, it's not really otaku-ish, is it?
He's just familiar.
It's Japanophilia, man.
That one girl has Japanophilia.
Yeah.
That one rich girl, I'm pretty sure this guy's just knowledgeable about Japan, but the other girl, God, she...
He looked so ecstatic, though, when he was explaining everything. He's like, look, she's bowing, that means something in Japan, or something like that. He looked so excited.
That's true. He was freaking out about it. He was like, what the hell is she doing bowing? He was acting a little scared. He was like, what the fuck is going on? What is she doing?
Yeah.
Were you trying to say something, Richard?
No.
No? Oh, I thought I heard you say something.
I was.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I mean, if anything, I wouldn't really call this a romance, but I would say it's really a heartwarming drama, if anything, because it's about two people who like to be with each other, not necessarily love each other, but they like to be with each other. They like hanging out, and it's just them, like, kind of, working through the whole Lost in Translations in order to become much closer. And this show reminds me of the movie The Terminal, the one with Tom Hanks and the guy, the refugee, who's like stuck in it reminds me of that, and the fact that it's about someone who visits another country and learns about their culture, and then it's through their differences that people come together, and that's what the show is all about.
Is it terrible that I think that the movie The Terminal is fucking hilarious?
I thought it was funny. Like, until the end, I thought it was supposed to be a comedy.
But no, just because, like, never mind. I'll talk about it later.
Well, I thought it would have made this anime a lot better so far. It would have been a language barrier, kind of. You know, I mean, we always touch on this that, you know, you have to speak Japanese in a Japanese anime, man. It's obvious. Or you can speak English if you want, but, you know, speaking French, that's a little out there. Finding French voice actors in Japan, I don't know how many there are.
I was actually just surprised they found that fluent English voice actors in C.
Oh, they found a lot. They've showed a lot of fluent English voice actors in a lot of anime. It's not that hard.
Well, there is some French, though. Like, I'm pretty sure the narrator speaks
French. The narrator's French, yeah.
Yeah. But aside from the narrator, it would have been great to see a woman, a young lady coming from Japan, learning like differences, not through like speech with another guy who coincidentally knows nothing of Japan, but can somehow speak fluent Japanese. And actually you have to deal with a language barrier on top of that I guess, you know, it's not realistic, which is fine. I really enjoy this kind of story, so I'm not that bugged by it, but
it's kind of hard to tell when people can actually understand each other. I think that's the biggest issue. Like, I don't know.
I think if everyone just picked up sign language, the world would be a better place, you know?
Be a quiet place, too.
Yeah, it would. It would be a quiet place.
I mean, at least they kind of explain it at the end of the first episode, where, like, it turns out Yuna actually does know French.
Spoiler!
It's just everyone assumed that she didn't. Which kind of makes sense, because why would you go to a different country if you have no idea what the language is like, and you're working there?
I've done it. Know? Oh, well, yeah.
That would make sense. That would change things. Like, instead of, like, they're just putting in Japanese because it's anime, so.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
I mean, there was a language barrier in the beginning, which I felt like, it, even though it was kind of funny the first time, like, dragging that on through, like, 13, or even, like, through half the season, it might get old after a while, because then its focus would be more on visual gags.
Mm. Wait, are you talking about,
If there was a language barrier.
No, I don't talk about in comedy. I'm talking about dramatic, like, trying to get used to each other language barrier, not where they use it for gags and shit.
No, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I feel like after a while, like, it might kind of drag on a bit.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, like, at the end of the, like halfway through the anime, they pick it up. Oh, fuck it. Who cares? That's not what the anime's doing.
Oh, wait, Ben. So where does she rack up in your, awesome little girls.
As far as cute little girls go, she's probably an 8, maybe a low 8. I don't know. What do you think?
This season has a lot of cute girls.
You guys would have to give me like a week to make my list for so far.
I mean, no. But for you, you just like lollies. Like,
hey, shut up.
Like, these are little girls that, like, I would have no problem being a father of.
This girl's really, I mean, she went to freaking France by herself. I mean, she's very out there, but she's a very nice little girl. I can imagine her, though, growing up working for this little boy until he's like an old man and she's like somewhere in her 40s, I don't know. And they, you know, then she won't be as cute. But they picked like the golden years of when they first meet and shit. And I think that's actually pretty cute. The way they did it, because no one wants to see an anime about an old lady treating an old man, so
yeah. Okay, yeah, whatever. I won't get into it. Later, we can do this later. Piece of crap. All right, is that all we got on the French anime?
Yeah. I'm 2 episodes behind, but like from what I've seen from like the first 2 episodes. I don't know. There's nothing extremely redeeming about it so far, but there's nothing terrible about it. So it's just kind of, you know,
it's just promise though. Like, do you ever,
I don't know. I mean, I've only seen the first 2 episodes, so I don't know.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think they're probably developing that like whole relationship a little too fast, in my opinion. Because, like, by the second episode, they're, like, the blacksmith is, like, all more friendly. And he was, like, kind of a douchebag in the first episode.
No, I think it's fine. Yeah. I think the pace is fine.
He kind of feels bad for being a douche.
If they dragged on the douchebaggery anymore, I think it would actually be a little
douchebag.
Slow, a little too slow for me, because I think, I don't know.
I feel like they're trying to get somewhere. Like I feel like they're trying to get somewhere here, so they kind
of
got to...
If you know, not, we'll have another fucking Fractale, and you'll have to develop some kind of godly heart at the end of the anime that saves someone's life.
We're going to pull a Fractale here.
I mean, I think I'll agree with Lurk. So, like, at first he was kind of like a douchebag, like, sent her back to her country. And then all of a sudden, like, he starts showing more affection out of nowhere. Like, yeah. He's kind of like a male Sunder. Like, it's like his heart in her, and all of a sudden he shows his nice side.
I don't know. I felt like he was nice the entire time. It's just that, like, it's just that he never understood her culture. And that's what kind of, you know, brought some of that conflict between the two.
No, he's a Sunder. He really cares about.
I mean, he's always thinking about it. Like even in the first episode, like
yeah,
like,
Sunder. Just
I don't know, but he was. Like, oh, come on now.
I'm just joking.
I think that it's
Dave, were you going to say something? Said
Tokuhara is a tsundere. Like that guy is not a tsundere.
Yeah, he's just a. He looks to be like a poorly written character, in my
opinion. Oh, that's possible.
Dave.
He's very one dimensional.
Dave.
It looks like
I know, yeah,
I wouldn't say Sunder, maybe just like he's growing more and more familiar with her having her around. You know, like she's steadily growing more and more part of his life and he's all right with that. I mean, that, you know, from the first episode on, he's kind of like a stranger to her, but she's growing more and more okay with that.
She kind of did fuck up really bad in the first episode, so I think it was that one time that he really showed his douchebaggery. Other than that, he was just kind of a little like a little awkward about it.
Yeah.
So, all right. If that's it for the French anime, then we'll move on to the Idolmaster with an at Idolmataster. Idolmataster.
I can't help think about zero punctuation.
Idolmataster.
For three or
for three.
For seven and all right. Just before, should I actually talk about this? Because
yes,
how many people?
Yes, I'm watching it.
Okay,
I'm
I guess
not
we
can't even bring up anything, man.
We'll keep it short.
All right. Well, Idolmaster is based off of the video game, The Idolmaster, which is basically just raising 10 girls to be idols, and that was pretty much the game. I didn't know too much about the game itself, but I just knew all the characters. I kind of did listen to the songs and here and there, and now they're making an anime of it, so I was really interested. And so far it's pretty nice. There's nothing really I can complain about it. You know, the story is not so super serious that, you know, they gotta start doing real good work with development and crap, but I like the characters. There's 10 girls. They're all pretty distinguished, surprisingly. You know, they did a pretty good job about writing.
Are you sure there's 10 girls? I feel like there's a lot more.
Well, the like girls, 22. The idols, I think there's only 10. I might be mistaken. No, there's 10.
I feel like it's in the 20s. There's a lot of them.
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. There's a lot of girls. There's a big cast, all female, and like there's one guy, I think. But, you know, they're all pretty distinguished, pretty unique from each other. But nothing you wouldn't see in a lot of other anime. But you know, that's just fine, putting it all in one big melting pot. I like it. I really do. I wish I can see more, but you know, it's weekly, so just gonna have to wait. But you know, it's so far nothing to complain about. It's not too bad.
Yeah. I can agree with you on that. That first episode is really misleading because I thought it was gonna take the approach of like The Office, where just random shenanigans happen, and then like every now and then someone would have like commentary, which I think would have been awesome if they
like a big documentary.
Yeah, exactly, like The Office, like an anime version of The Office.
Yeah,
I think Ricky Gervais in an anime would be awesome.
Yeah. It is episodic though, right?
It is. Like like in the beginning, it's kind of shallow just for the fact that they're just trying to interest all 50 characters. But then it seems like each episode, they're like, they take like a good couple of them and then just give them like the entire episode for them to develop with like the other characters like doing their thing in the background as well.
Yeah.
Which I think can work considering, you know, that's either that or The Office, but like it's not being super serious about it, and it's not putting that much emphasis on the actual like character songs.
Yeah.
Which I was worried about. It's more about just these characters like working with each other.
Yeah. Surprisingly, there's not enough Miki, the blonde, and she was like the main character of the game.
Which one? Is that the one that's always...
Yeah, the one who's always sleeping. The blonde. Oh, yeah. She's the main character of the game, but there's not a lot of screen time for her. She's always freaking sleeping.
I found one of the episodes a little bit weird. I don't know if this is the recent episode, the girl that's like afraid of men or something
like that. Yeah, the most recent one.
Yeah. But it's like the whole episode was like her trying to, they were getting ready for their, was it their debut?
He booked them for like a little mini live thing at a festival.
Yeah. Just a little festival show they're getting ready for. And this girl was having like a nervous breakdown, because of she has the fear of men. But then, like, somewhere in the episode, she actually, you know, she gets a very, like, emotional speech handed to her or something by someone. Wasn't it, like,
Producer.
Producer.
And she gets over it. But then she goes on stage, and she sees a fucking dog. And then she starts freaking out, too. I don't know what the problem is with this girl. How do you have a fear of dogs and guys? That's, like, half the population of Earth right there. I mean, maybe she got raped by a male dog. Like, mauled as a child by, like, a guy with a dog. And they both mauled her to the brink of death or something. It just freaked me out.
I didn't know Japan was 75% made of dogs and men. You know,
like I'm not picking at that, but like every character in the show, I understand that they're probably going to have some deep scar, some kind of scar on their life. Hopefully not. I would like just some fun love episode every now and then. Kind of like the first one a little bit. I don't know.
An anime.
I forgot was that the second episode or third one with the girl?
That was the third one.
So. Okay, I don't remember what happened in the second one.
The second one was all about the little kids and that one hype and what's her name? Taiga. Yeah.
Taiga.
What?
Taiga's here. Yeah, it's just her voice act. What's her name again? Rhea Kugumiya.
Yeah.
She's it was all about her and pretty much all the kids on the
She
team.
A tsundere?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's
golly.
Well, not really a tsundere. She just kind of has a high and mighty attitude.
I feel like she's like the textbook tsundere of like the entire show.
I don't
Jesus,
think,
really?
She's like, oh, cannot avoid that character.
There's no love interest. Well, I don't know, but like,
it doesn't matter. She's just always a tsundere.
She's not a tsundere.
I mean, she's a tsundere.
she's just high and mighty about herself. That's all.
But then none of that she's like, oh, producer, thanks for teaching me. But it's not like I wanted you to
Everyone loves producer. Even me. No. All right. anyone else?
I just hope that this doesn't turn into RoQBoo where everyone's wearing maid outfits.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard the next one. In the video game, we had a basketball arc. So might turn to RoQBoo. You piece of crap. All right. Is that all for Idle Matt-Aster? Matt-Aster.
Looks good.
No? Okay, that's it.
Just out of curiosity, how many of you have actually played the game?
I've never heard about it. It's like on Xbox only, I think. I've watched the game being played.
It's all in Chinese, like even the text is.
It's like region locked for Japan Xbox. So
yeah. Xbox is always region locked. It's stupid.
All right.
Richard, you live in Japan. Why don't you play Idle Master while you're there?
I don't have the money for it.
Oh,
did you play Steins Gate?
No.
Oh. Mm.
Okay.
Just follow in Japanese.
Hmm? Oh. Alright. That's all for Idle Master. Let's move on to R15. Okay, wait. Is anyone else watching this? Because this is an asterisk show.
I was going to, but then you told me it was all censored and stuff, and I was like, I ain't watching that.
Wow, not watching censored show. That's the first. No, I'm watching it, but I haven't actually been paying that much attention to it, Gabe, so I don't really, except for like the first two episodes, I pay a lot of attention to it. I don't trust in my opinion on it.
Alright, then I guess we'll just skip that one. Kyun, is anyone else watching?
No, Kyun, that's just Kyun. You.
Huh?
That's just you.
No, that's me too. Gabe, let's talk about this.
You want to talk?
We talked about Milky Holmes. We can do this.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, damn it.
Next show is Kaito Tenshi, Twin Angel, Kyun Kyun, Tokimeki
Paradise. Tokimeki
Paradise. Okay.
Just follow these lately, aren't you?
Magical girl anime, all mostly female. Kind of pretty much just that's it. It's a magical girl anime. It does what a lot of other magical girl animes do. I don't know. What are you thinking, Ben? What are you thinking?
It's about that girl who steals the crown every episode, which I have no idea what does because I completely forgot.
It's only three episodes in. We don't know.
There's a tan girl in a swimsuit.
And yeah. But
like this anime, it's like every other magical. It's like the basis of Magical Girl series today.
It's pretty much the core of what you would see in the Magical Girl.
Any sweet Precure series put into one would be this, but it's like this has a very what's that kind of comedy I'm thinking of? Milky Holmes X.
It really does feel like Milky comedy. Holmes.
Yeah, it does. That
butler kind of feels like 20,
He does. I know. That's why I recognize it.
I'm so glad I'm not watching this.
It's a little more mature than your average one too, because there's a lot of dirty jokes about boobs and naked girls coming out of the shower in towels while trying to hunt down a guy who's something. Anyway, whatever. It's like about these like little game systems too, which I don't understand either. So whatever, but it's whatever. Fun. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, that's it's pretty much it in a nutshell. Okay, we're not doing Morita-san. Nobody's watching that except me.
Morita-san is awesome. It's more kind of Hanazawa.
Gabe, did you forget that I'm watching everything?
Well, can we do it again, two people only?
No, we can't, but if you want to say something like 2 seconds long, sure, go ahead.
It's more Kanahanazawa.
Let's just skip that whole thing. Next up is Baku to Test, which, again...
Let's have Dave, since he's the biggest Baku to Test.
Dave, you want to... You want
to introduce us to Baku to Test, Dave?
Sure, it's Baku to Test second season. What Baku to Test is about is that there's a school where kids compete from different classes to rank up other classes. The class A has like the best supplies and best desks. Class F has the worst stuff. Like the tables are pretty much crap.
They don't even have desks in class A. It's like a hotel. Amazing.
They use cardboard boxes now for desks and shit.
I think they took those away.
But that's basically the premise of Baku to Test, and well, now there's more of it on the second season. I'm enjoying it. There are like some people saying it's not as good as the first season, but I still like it a lot.
We're not even that far into it,
Like the first two episodes were just like beach episodes and shit, so
just fine.
Did you see the third episode though?
Yeah, I saw the third episode.
I mean, they did like a little
backstory.
Yeah, a little backstory, and I really like that.
Yeah.
And Hideyoshi.
Oh my god, I love that thing with Hideyoshi they did,
Yeah.
Dave, can I ask you a question? What subgroup are you using?
Kami, I think.
Why is it that Hideyoshi is talking like old English?
It's because that's how he actually speaks.
Yeah, I noticed that too in the first season. That's how he spoke, but the subs were subbing wrong.
If you actually hear him, he speaks archaically.
He speaks like Edo style shit.
Mushi, Wachi, stuff like that.
The file I have for the first season doesn't do that at all.
That's because it wasn't Kami.
It's because the subbers didn't do it.
Kami's very, very good with this. I guess the other one didn't really.
Kami's very smart when it comes to that shit.
But he does speak archaically. I kind of hear this. Never mind. All right, whatever. I like it. It's like Baku to Test. I really enjoyed Baku to Test, but it's just a big fresh coat of paint. We're seeing everything again, and I really like it. It's also pretty funny.
What really worries me though.
What? That it's just going to be the same thing.
Yeah, like the first three episodes I've enjoyed for the most part, but I have this odd lingering feeling that Baku to Test is going to fall victim to the same thing that Arakawa Under the Bridge did, where the first season was hilarious, but the second season was a lot of the same, and it just wasn't as good. Mm-hmm. I just had the odd feeling that it's going to happen, that it's Bakuto Test is going to end up that way as well. I'm hoping it doesn't because I really like this show, but you never know.
Yeah, that's a pretty big worry for a lot of two-season comedies. Anyone else want to say anything about Bakuto Test?
Still good.
Yeah,
still
it is good.
It's still funny.
For now, but it is.
Funny.
It's
not going to get worse.
I have the feeling that these jokes, they're going to keep doing them over and over, and sooner or later, it's just going to feel dry. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I have a very, worried feeling that it might happen.
And a lot of people consider the second season of Arcaro actually better than the first one. So,
well, those people are stupid.
It's just difference in opinion.
Call me stupid.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, that's right. Never mind. Every day. Okay. If that's it for Bakuto Test, then let's move on to Dantellion no Shoka, which is...
Shit! I mean, what? Oh, okay, whatever. I'm just going to briefly go over it then. How many people are watching this anyway?
I've only watched the first episode so far.
I'm fully caught up.
Dave?
Fully caught up to two episodes.
I saw the first episode.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm not watching it.
Richard! No. The cow.
Yeah, I've seen the first episode.
Okay, well, first episode is all you really need to see, I guess. Because, I remember what happened in the second episode now. I think. Well, anyway, someone can help me with this if I make a mistake here or not. Anyway, Dantellion.
Dandelion.
I want to call it Dandelion.
Dantellion.
Dantellion, no Shoko. Shoko. Is about a guy named, what's his name?
He's the main character.
Yui, is that his name?
Already asking for help then?
Yes, I am. His name is confusing. Huey something.
That's Hugh Anthony Dizward.
Yeah, Huey Anthony Dizward. And he inherits this mansion from his, I think it's his grandfather or uncle or something.
Grandfather.
It's his grandfather. And what's it called? He it's like it has a giant library in it, and in there he meets a little girl. Yeah, little girl kind of. Or is it in
have
the basement?
Have you watched this at all?
I have watched
then you,
it.
You want, a... I think someone else should. Even Larks can pick it.
Okay, Larks, you want to help? You want? Okay, Larks, let's hear what you have to say about this without right, reading off so the synopsis from Mal.
This girl named Dantellion in the basement of this entire mansion. And I guess, like, they're... I'm trying to figure out, like, what exactly happened, but, like, one of... his grandfather's friends had stolen a book from them, so they went to go find it. I don't really remember what the reason why they were like,
it's a
phantom
book. The phantom book, the idea is that, like, there's some kind of... The book itself has a bunch of magic, but people can be corrupted.
They're called
and,
grimoires, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, the point is that these phantom books, they can overcome the reader, and usually a lot of bad things happen because of it, such as, like, demons popping out. In the pilot episode, like, a circus from a pop-up book actually came to life and killed everybody.
Yeah,
and so it's the story revolves around.
In order for Q to fight back, this is where, god damn it, Gainax. This is where it gets crazy. Like, in order to fight back all these demons, Hugh needs this other grimoire that Dalion actually possesses, but in order to get it, he uses this key that his grandfather gave him and opens up Dalion and, like, reaches inside her and gets a book because apparently Dalion's an entire library.
Hmm.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Like, and that's the whole basis of the first episode. And I gotta say, like, this is probably gonna be one of, like, just one of these shows that's going to be so ridiculous that I just cannot help myself but, like, laugh my ass off at watching.
This is a Gainax show?
Yeah, it's Gainax.
Oh.
You won't be laughing for long, though.
Should I pick
this? I mean, because, like, just like the first episode, like, a lot of things happen randomly, and then all of a sudden, like, the entire action sequence boils down to him reading a book. I'm afraid, like, at the rate
you know what I liked about the first episode, though, is, like, when he was reading that whole entire thing, they had, like, the animation of what he was reading going on, and I thought it was actually kind of cool.
I mean, that's pretty much more of reading, but less of the visual. Because in the second episode, he reads off his tablet, and he randomly knows, like, how to read, because the show, it's not even English. It's just some random language. And, like, he starts reading one book. And then, like, lightning comes out of nowhere after, like, 2 minutes of him reading. And it's just straight reading. Like,
this is why I love Giant Six.
He's standing there reading a fucking tablet. You see what's on the tablet, and nothing happens. Like, you're wondering, like, hey, why isn't that golem trying to kill him? Or, hey, why isn't that crazy bitch trying to kill him? Hey, why isn't anyone fucking doing anything? Everyone is just standing the fuck around while he reads a motherfucking book.
Have you ever watched the Magical Girl anime era?
Yeah. Yes, I love shit out of Card Captor Sakura. But what I'm saying is that, like, he's reading.
Okay, wait.
Granted, wait.
You're okay with girls changing clothes for, like, 2 minutes?
Getting blocked out by the static.
This reading drags on for a long time. And it's random. Like, it's sometimes what he, like, in the first episode, what he read, it was kind of compelling. Because, like, it was like, when you actually listen to what he says, it's just... Like, it's got that certain je ne sais quoi, like, as he goes along with it, and it just kind of, like, adds to the mood. In the second episode, it really doesn't have that, and it's just him reading. And it's not as compelling as the pilot. And I'm afraid that that's, like, as the series progresses, it's just going to be more of him reading, and everyone's standing there staring at him while he reads.
This is why I love Gainax, though, because half the time... They know they're either doing something really crazy or really stupid, but they just don't give a shit and they just go with it. That's what I love about Gainax.
I mean, but like sometimes they have a certain I don't give a fuck, let's just roll with it. They did that with Fooly Cooly and they did that with Tepin, like Gurren Lagann. And that worked. But it's not working in this. Like we're only two episodes in. I know it's only two episodes in, but it's like But there's nothing, like, at least in those shows, like, when crazy shit happens, like, it's appealing to watch. Like, there's, like, either it's, like, the music or, like, the characters themselves or just a bunch of flashing lights. There's something going on. But in this show, nothing's really happening. And, like, I mean, I sound angry, but, like, I'm, like, after two episodes in, I'm still going to continue the series. I'm just saying, I have the biggest fear of this show is that, like, it's just going to come down to this guy's going to read a fucking book and then the monster's magically gone. And problem automatically solved. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt just because it's Gainax.
Yeah, like I said, I have faith that it's going to do well later on, but I'm also worried that it's just going to be more reading.
I like the characters in the show, though. Like, Dalion is, like, kind of a bitch, and, like, Hugh just kind of goes with it.
Yeah, that's probably the reason why I'll keep continuing with the series, because they're actually kind of funny when they, like, just sit around and talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the second episode, they have this, like, the small chatter about, like, the, like, girl they meet up with the mansion, and it's kind of hilarious, because, like, they're sitting there, and he's like, oh, yeah, I felt really bad, because, like, you sent me this letter to my granddad, and since I'm his heir, I guess I'll continue his work. And then, like, Dalion's like, no, you just saw the check and just came running over. Like, the banter between the two is funny.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh, Gainax, I love you so.
I'm just going to say, I imagine he's eventually going to get to the point where he reads a book that summons a mecha, and it's going to turn into a mecha series.
Or he's going to jump inside her.
So instead of guitars out of the forehead, it's books out of a chest?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Some, like, underlying tones of, like, them fucking each other, but he's actually in a library.
Well, he's existing.
There's a villain in Soul Eater kind of like this that actually he fights with a book, but what he does is he can summon things from his book because his book's like a collector's item or something like that. So, like, at one point, all he's doing is, like, making a bunch of shit come out of his book to fight off, like, all the main characters, like the Statue of David and, like, the various demons and shit like that. So they can turn... Book fights can turn pretty ugly. If, right? So maybe.
Yeah, man, those corners. Hardcovers. Alright. Alright. Is that it for Natalia? Anyone else?
Anybody?
Nope. All right.
It's good.
It's good?
It's good.
Okay. Alright, give me a second. I closed everything.
It's, is anyone watching Nekogami?
No. We were skipping that anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up is Mawaru Penguin Drum.
All right. Mawaru Penguin Drum, it's another show by Brainspace, the third one. And no one had any idea what the show was going to be when it first came on. Like, there was rumors about the director, but there was, like, no voice actors, no plot.
No PVs.
Well, there was a couple PVs, but nothing happened. It was just, like, text.
Yeah.
But then now, like, after the first three episodes, we get this fabulous, fabulous show. Like, the opening is, like, awesome. And then you have, like, the transformation sequence with, like, with the Penguin Princess. I don't know what she is. I'm just going to call her that.
Penguin Princess.
Yeah, like, survival strategy. That's...
She's so cute when she says that.
I know. It's golden. Like, everything about the show just works. Like, the two main leads, like, they're kind of the whole opposites, but then they work so well together. And then, like, what looks like is, like, the main female, or at least the female for this arc. Like, it turns out to... Spoilers. She turns out to be, like, a stalker, like a crazy chick. Like, everything about the show just works. And it fires on, like, all cylinders when it comes to the visuals. Yeah. Like, there's, like, stars, pink stripes, flashing lights everywhere all the time.
It's a really good show.
Yeah. And the penguins themselves, like, I had a problem with Kamisama Dolls because whenever they had a serious moment and then, like, Uta would just randomly break the mood. But that's not really a problem with this one because even though there's a serious moment and, like, the little penguins are just doing their own thing, they're just so fun to watch and, like, it doesn't necessarily detract from the mood. It doesn't hurt the show, but those penguins, man.
One of the penguins, all he does is spray bugs, spray out bugs. Yeah.
Like, it's just like, this moment. He just stands there and this cockroach runs by and he just pulls out like a bug spray.
He sprays the same cockroach like five times.
The smallest effort ever. He just moves his arm and.
Yeah. And like, have you guys seen the third episode?
No.
Yes.
One of the penguins is just like looking behind the television and it like falls. And then he falls like onto this like the sticky like rat trap paper.
It's a magazine. It's like covered in gum for some reason. It's stuck on his face for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, it was just like, it was funny because towards the end of the episode, like all the penguins and everyone was like eating dinner, and he's just standing there with like this paper and gunk just stuck to his face. It's like he's not even moving. He's just standing there.
No, they're all eating, and like the penguins are eating out of their bowls, and he's just sitting in front of his bowl.
It's a great show.
Everything about the show, like,
oh my god!
Fun fact: like, the person who does the like music for the show is the same one who does the music for Myochiki.
Really?
And the music of Myochiki is weird, but in this show, it's like it's so magical. Like this is the surprise. Like, if they continue at the rate they're going, this could easily be like a contender for like best anime of 2011.
Oh god, I fucking love this show so much.
I've heard a lot of people actually providing some hate for the show because of how random it is.
Yeah, it's namely
one person we know very well whose name starts with a J, and I will not disclose their name on here.
Jackass?
Yeah, that guy.
Jerkoff.
No, but like this show, it's definitely one of the must watches of like this season. Like at the very least, you got to give it a shot because, like, like the story is compelling, the characters are awesome, everything about it just works. And now, if they can keep it up for the remaining like 21 episodes, like more power to them. But like at this moment, right now, like I can't help but like just like be glued to like my laptop. We're just waiting for the next episode.
Oh man,
definitely must watch.
I like the ending. The ending's really good.
I remember at the end of the second episode, I was.
Stop cutting off Dave.
Sorry, Dave. I didn't hear you. You're so fucking quiet.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Alright. Did anyone notice how ridiculously awesome that cow outfit is in the third episode?
Oh, yes! The cow came out of nowhere! And she's like, oh, I can prove to you that actually I'm not a human, because like, I can drink milk. And they're like, oh, really? Oh. And she just randomly, she goes from like a penguin outfit to like a cow outfit.
And she like downs like four things of milk.
Yeah, she like, it's, the show's awesome.
Oh my god, since watching Bacano, I haven't watched like a really good Brains-based show, and this is like the next awesome Brains-based show.
Alright.
My god. I love this show so much.
I think everyone's had their 2 cents on this show already.
I can't get over those penguins. It's so funny.
Alright. Any final thoughts? I guess, yeah, I think you guys are already said enough. Let's just move on here.
The last one is Kami-sama Dolls.
No,
Where did Kami-sama Dolls?
Wait.
Or Memchow.
Yeah, Memchow.
God's Memo Pad.
Alright, Next up is Kami-sama no Memochow.
Yes. So this is one by JC Staff, novel adaptation. And the entire story revolves around the main character named Narumi, who's just this average run-of-the-mill high school boy who just is kind of antisocial. Like, he knows how to talk to people, but he just prefers not to, like, form relationships with people. And he just runs into this random group of characters, and all of a sudden he just gets pulled into this detective agency led by Alice, or Yuko. And so it's pretty much got that case close, or sorry, detective style, where it's like, here's a random mystery, and now it's kind of up to the group, you know, the group to figure out what's going on. And the stories they're fairly dark. Like, the first one is all about prostitution and, like, suicide, and the second episode's all about the Yakuza. And for the most part, it's a good show. It's not a great show. Like, there's a lot of nitpick. Like, some of the characters are just plain flat. And like the main character himself, he's not really like an outstandish lead, but then again, they also describe that as like his characteristics. Like, he's just there. But you know, it's only like the first three episodes, four if you want to count like the first one as a two-parter. But as far as the mysteries go, like they do explain things fairly well. Like, it's sometimes it feels kind of like Deus Ex Machina, like just how like Alice randomly gets these answers, or how they come up with some of these deductions. But for the most part, it's a fairly consistent show, and I do recommend it. It's a good show. Like, it's not something for the mystery buffs out there who are like looking for like, you know, the next Sherlock Holmes, to, like, you know, get their panties in a bunch. But it's, as far as like the cast, the story, I mean, it works. It really does work.
I think it has a strong start. You know, it does show good potential to, you know, stay the way it is for the whole thing. Maybe get a little bit better near the end or something like that. But, you know, for what it is right now, it's pretty satisfactory.
Yeah, that's what scares me about the show, is that, like, it does have a good start. Like, the first three episodes, like, they pretty much convinced me to continue with this series. But then again, it's also JC Staff. And I think that's the big kicker, is that Staff is really inconsistent, and as of now, it's not confirmed whether it's a one-core or a two-core show yet.
What does that mean?
One-core is one season, so 11 to 13 episodes.
Oh,
two-core, two seasons.
All right.
So, like, Steins Gate, that's a two-core show, because it's going for two seasons.
All right. Anyone else want to drop in?
I'm kind of disappointed with this, because I liked that first episode, because it was like 45 minutes long. There was a lot that they put into it, and that first case was like really, it kind of reminded me of, and this is going to sound weird, but it kind of reminded me of Ghost in the Shell, because they deal with a lot of like mature sort of, like cases, and that's kind of what they did. They were doing like a case that dealt with like prostitution and everything like that. And it was cool. And then the second it was like a regular like half hour episode, and I was like, that's kind of disappointing.
Wait, you're disappointed in the length?
Yeah, because,
well, I mean, it's always been intended to be like, you know, a standard 30-minute show. It's just for the pilot they decided to make it. It's technically two episodes.
But like, I think they should have kept it like that for the rest of the series. It's awesome.
It's kind of out of their hand though, because like
that kind of like double the cost and everything. I think they even like winged it when it came to this.
Because then it also goes to this. It also depends on like who's airing the show, like the TV station.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's basically where it goes to.
Yeah.
Is that
like Ben mentioned this earlier about like how like there's some shows that you may just want to wait until the very end, like just so you can marathon through it. I feel like this is probably one of those shows, just because like the week-long breaks really do kind of mess with the pacing, especially after like a very misleading first episode, in which it was a straight like 48 minutes of just anime. Like it wasn't like here's an opening, here's the end of the episode, and here's the next opening. It was just one opening, one closing, and just 45 minutes of just pure anime.
Mm.
So,
all right, is that all you had on
Yeah, it's a watch. I definitely recommend it, but it's one of those where I'm not sure exactly how long this will last.
All right. Anyone else want to throw in the two cents?
I saw the first episode. Looks pretty all right, but I don't know. I gotta catch up to it. It's not bad, I guess, but we'll see where that goes.
Hmm. Yeah, I know I said this for a few shows already, but this one also, it kind of does show promise. But like I said, I don't really expect it to, you know, be fantastic, because it's like I said, it's already satisfactory as it is right now.
I mean, it's a JC staff, and that's the thing, that's the kicker. It's like JC staff has thrown out some really good shows. Yeah, like you had Railgun and Toradora, but then they also have which one?
Aria, Scarlet.
No,
no,
no. No.
Yeah.
What the hell are you thinking?
But then, like,
just
like
they have their like, yeah,
it's
oh my god,
that was.
I need to fucking sound clip that shit, man.
Oh.
Eh.
Jokes about anime. Don't we all just love anime?
I love anime.
Did you watch that show?
Yeah, I did.
I swear to God, JC staff is like one of the most ass backwards studios of all time.
They're so inconsistent.
They can make they can make like some of the, like, they made one of my favorite shows of all time, Toradora, and then they go around and make a show like Aria the Scarlet Ammo, which is complete like just trash. It's so weird. They're so backwards at that studio.
I'm assuming that all the good people already left.
Maybe. After they did Toradora, they're like, fuck it, alright, I'm retired.
Well, they really followed the light novel to the dot, so it's not really
that. Well, they also, I heard that that's kind of what they did.
I wouldn't say that.
Did you read it?
I don't know about the light novel, but it's different from the manga, that's for fucking sure.
The manga comes from the light novel.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say if one of them is inconsistent.
What? Why are you bringing on the manga to this?
Because the manga is based on the light novel, and the anime is based on the light novel.
So, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you can't really patronize JC staff, because they literally showed that light novel to the dot.
Yeah, right. But they are responsible for like voice actors and all that shit.
I don't know who's.
Again,
I don't know why they did that.
Fucking laugh then.
Whatever
they did. Yeah, GG did.
We already talked about this last special.
Man.
Okay,
I love GG. Right. So
GG makes everything better.
We're not talking about Aria.
Right. Yeah, fuck that show.
Okay. Any more on what the hell were we talking about? See, I don't even remember. Yeah.
God's notepad.
Yeah. Anything else? Anyone else?
No, I'm good.
All right. We're gonna kind of make a backtrack here. We're gonna go back to Manyu. Hikinsho. So, Ven, you wanted to say something about Manyu Hikinsho?
I'll just say a few things. Just a few things about the show. I think Richard here, I think it's the only one besides me that's actually watched.
I've seen only 5 minutes of it. All I saw was neon green light, and I'm just like, wow, it's a freaking light show. I see two girls putting their heads on one another's chest, and all I know, they should just play dubstep in the background. Make it better, just don't waste my time.
Oh my god. Okay, well, in the universe of Manyu Hikinsho, this anime, well, first off, this anime is done by, what's that studio called? Hoots Entertainment? I think you know them. They did Seikan no Quasar 1 and 2, and Princess Lover OVA, Aki Sora. That's pretty much all. And this one. So, you know, they're the anime studio responsible for most of the...
boobs.
What should we call it? Yeah, boobs of the anime generation. So, of this generation. So, this anime is about, like, kind of samurai-esque, Edo-style kind of anime about where boobs are... power, like the woman with the biggest breasts has the most power in the country, and she commands
political power
and shit, and like you have battles between women with big breasts, and if she defeats the woman, she gets all her breast power and her boobs grow bigger. It's that kind of story. And I'm sure Richard watched up until one part that happened, right, Richard?
So I only watched 5 minutes of it.
Okay, then never mind. Yes. Anyway, yeah, so, but in hindsight, the animation is a big white screen you see for about 20 minutes, and then maybe you'll see a brief glimpse of the characters every now and then. That's pretty much it. Because the entire anime censorship is completely ass. And I have seen it uncensored. Actually, this anime is worse uncensored than it is censored. That's kind of weird. Because when it's uncensored, it's disgusting. It is, oh man, I almost threw up watching it uncensored
once. What are you talking about?
I swear to God, Gabe.
What? Look, Ben, I don't know how much you've seen in this world, but those are boobs. You'll understand when you grow up.
Wait, do they have like pancake nipples?
Okay, they do, but no, they don't have pancake nipples.
What are you talking about?
Tits, like they're hanging down to their fucking knees and
shit. They're very pliable.
And
like you can bounce them up and down like a ball.
No, what's the disgusting part is in the censored version, they took out the sound clips to make it less dirty. So if you go into the uncensored version, you hear all the sound clips and the boobies flopping around, and it's fucking gross. And oh my, I'm a fan of big titties, but this is just disgusting, man. I think this company needs to stop making anime.
What else has Hood made?
Seikan no Quasar, Aki Sora, Princess Lover OVA. You know, those shows. I mean, I don't hate this studio.
Oh, that's right. They did do Akisora.
This anime is very doesn't take itself seriously, but it has a very serious story. And a very, well, not serious story, but they take the story seriously, but they don't take the characters very seriously at all. And they have very serious music playing through the entire thing. So, it's very hard to watch this anime, but I'm sure Gabe will love it. So, I recommend this to you, Gabe, and only you.
Oh, why, thank you.
Everyone else can skip this and... they would,
because I don't hate anime, right? That's why.
Yeah. Or you like really bad anime.
Oh, so yeah.
That could be it.
Let's move on, asshole.
Can't stop watching that video of Arya the Scarlet Ammo.
Dude, that shit is hilarious.
All right.
I just saw it.
I found a video of it. It's awesome.
Okay.
Hey, wait, guys, quick question.
What?
Can you post this link when you guys actually post the show on the website?
I'll just put it in the show. Don't worry. Yeah.
God damn it, Jose! I knew you were gonna do something like that.
King, you gotta listen to that, King, so that you can know what the anime for Arya is like.
Okay. Now, let's move on from Yonpire. We're back on track.
I thought we're done.
Yeah. Actually, no. Bro, Q, boo. I want to talk about it.
Oh, God.
We don't have AG on the show.
Oh, damn. We could have been talking about it. Whatever. I'll just do it myself. Lollies and basketballs. That is all. All right.
Dave has a sick good. Mind to like this show.
Wait, I can impersonate AG if you want me to.
No, we're good. You want to do some dub stuff for us? Maybe they can take that.
Oh no, that's too late.
Yeah, it's too
late. But all I know, in that series, it says in the summary that a freshman teaching a bunch of girls basketball, and he's doing this on, like, at first it was like a dare or something from his sister, but, like, they said something about the original coach being a lolicon.
Hmm.
Like, what the hell?
I don't hate it. You know, I'm not going to say anything you want.
That really does not mean much coming from you, Gabe.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Can we just admit this whole podcast doesn't like it?
Yeah.
For AJ.
No. I don't hate it.
Yeah, you
come
do.
Come on, be fair here.
No, you hate everything.
Let's be fair here.
I hate it.
All the show is about what? What is the show about, Gabe?
It's a very serious drama about coming of age. A guy tries to teach these four young adults about basketball.
Gabe, I've never heard you spout more bullshit in my entire life than just then.
Oh yeah, I hear you spitting bullshit. Yeah,
I'm going to say no one watches
every day,
dude. That
I'm watching it. It's just me and Age, probably. Oh, whatever. That's enough of that.
Yeah, I think we were watching two different animes, Gabe.
Oh,
because
yeah?
The way I saw this, it was four young girls trying to seduce a high school freshman.
Oh, okay. If you want to call it that, fine.
Well, the four young girls were very underage, and they were very, very, very provocative in the way they were doing everything.
Okay, sure.
There's a bath scene with all four girls that I'm sure you'd like. No one else.
Did we decide to do OVAs, or are we just going to stop here?
I think we're going to stop here.
Reason I didn't watch this show because I didn't want Chris Hansen breaking into my house and asking me what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
Come have a seat.
Why don't you have a seat? Sure.
All right. All right, so that's it for all the shows, right?
Yep.
Is it? Is it?
Yeah. Well, all the shows we want to care about. Does anyone want to talk about number six?
No.
Number six is... Yeah, I love it.
Of course you would like it, man.
Narayan 2 is amazing. There we go. That's all I got to say.
No one else is watching, so no one...
Sacred 7
no
sucks, too.
That's why I'll just say it now. What?
Sacred 7 sucks, too.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do 7.
Yeah, it's...
Bad.
It's Sunrise.
So...
Hey,
That's not saying a lot coming from me because I don't like Sunrise, period.
I mean, Star Driver was okay.
Why do you think of Star Driver when you think of Sunrise? Wait, Sunrise made... One second. I'm going to question your...
I don't Code Geass.
Yeah,
no,
they didn't make Star Driver.
I thought they did.
They didn't make Star Driver, no. That was Bones. That was Bones.
Yeah, Bones did Star Driver. That's what
either thought. Way, it was still okay.
Star Driver was very Sunrise-ish, though.
Felt like it.
I think their idea going into this, let's make an anime with the same art style as Code Geass, and then no mechs, and then a guy with weird eye powers. So basically, let's just make Code Geass without mechs.
The OP's kind of funny, though, because the butler flips everyone off.
Hey, yeah.
that's a plus for the show, I guess.
All right. Alrighty, then. This has been a Summer 2011 Impression Special of Anime Afterlife Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.